Modonia Brie, Hebrew Club. Good to see everybody here towards the end of the quarter. We're staggering toward the end, right? And we are actually starting a new section here today, 1 Samuel chapter 5, which is kind of the aftermath of the Philistine victory. It's kind of a Pyrrhic victory, so to speak, because they capture the ark, which seems like a good thing for them at the time, but it becomes a very bad deal for them. And this is an interesting text, 12 verses long, chapter 5, so we'll try to get through most of it today and go from there, because you'll find, I think, that you'll be able to read along with me pretty easily. Okay, so we're going to start with verse 1. U'pelishtim lachu et aron ha'elohim v'yavi'uhu me'evan ha'etzer ashdodah. Okay, so notice, remember, you have to know that it's the Philistines that they were talking about in chapter 4, and then you have no problem with this switch as he zeroes in on what happened after the victory. Okay, so the Philistines, Lachihu, took the Ark of God, Vayevihu, and they brought it. Notice that that's just a hip deal from Bo. We've seen it many times before in this text. And they brought it from, and now here's the city name, Ebenezer in English, Stone of the Etzer, the Help. And every time that this Etzer is used as the name of a place, it has the article. So it must be kind of a stylistic feature here. It's used in 1 Samuel 4, verse 1, 5, verse 1, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. So three times it's used, and every time it has the article. So they brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And notice that they have the locative hay at the end of Ashdod. All right. So remember, this is in the territory of Philistia. And kind of keep track in your mind, remember, this is on the coast of the Mediterranean, that country there, south and west of Jerusalem, Judea. Okay, so that's where the ark is. And it's going to be traveling. All right. Verse 2. Vayikhu pelishtim et aron ha'elohim vayaviu oto beit dagon vayatzigu oto etzel dagon. And the Philistines took, what's the root from yikhu? Lakach, good. And the Philistines took the Ark of God, vayaviu, and here again is the hiphil. And this time, notice, it doesn't have the suffix, it just has the direct object marker, so it's just kind of a stylistic different, or maybe a free variant, see? And they brought it, so the previous verse, and they brought it, and here, and they brought it, to, notice here, the house of Dagon. There's no preposition, and again, we've seen this frequently, it's a common characteristic that they just use an accusative and juxtapose it, and allow the context to tell you how to translate. So they brought it into the house of Dagon. Dagon was a Syrian deity, an ancient one, probably adopted by the Philistines when they came to this region. All right. Vayatzigu, and they stood him. This is, can anyone see what the root is? If you had to guess.
Natzag.
Natzag, very good. A Natzag. And it occurs in the Niphal as an intransitive, you know, to stand up or something like that. Here, of course, would be to cause to stand up. Better, you would, should better translate in English to put or place or to set up. This is a hit feel from Natzah. See? And they set it up, see, Vayatzigu Oto. And they set it up, Eitzel, next to Dagon. Sounds like a good idea at the time. See, you got two gods for the price of one in the same bait, in the same temple. Notice too, bait is used to refer to a temple, so it's not just a house for people dwell. Same thing where we call churches sometimes houses of the Lord as well. Same kind of idiom. Okay, verse 3, surprise, surprise. Vayash kimu ashdodim mimacharat. Vehine Dagon nofel lefanav atzra. Lifne aron Yahweh. Vayikhu et Dagon. Vayashivu oto limkomo. Okay. Vayash kimu. That means, and they got up early from Shakam. It's, I think it occurs mainly in the Hiphil. They got up early. The subject follows Ashdodim, which you know, the Ashdodites. All right. The citizens of Ashdod got up early. Mith machara. Okay, look at this word. The word machar and machara mean the same thing. The next day. Okay? Or the following day. Machara. And here the min is attached. So it would be something like the Ashdodites rose up early the following day, on the following day. Now you have this hinna. Alright? Hinna indicates kind of a shift of perspective more to the characters. Okay, so it's all of a sudden, notice we've been looking at everything from the narrative point of view, now it shifts more to the characters. And so it's kind of very vivid, and your translation, the way I'm going to translate it, is an attempt to convey that. Alright? So, the Ashdodites got up early the next morning, and there was Dagon, having fallen on his face. Okay, everybody see that? No fail is a participle. And I translated it kind of according to how it fits into the context. Alright, so the Ashdodites got up early on the next day, and there was Dagon, fallen on his face. Artsa, to the ground, notice the locative hay, to the ground, lifne Aron Yahweh, before the Ark of Yahweh. Alright, well, they're very practical people, so maybe the wind was blowing hard or something. So they took Dagon, Vayashivu, that's from Shuv, what conjugation is this one? Call or Hifil? Hifil. And they, notice so it takes a direct object, and they set him in his place. Well, they set him back up. Alright. Any questions, verse 3, yes?
Yeah, question. The Ark of Yahweh versus the Ark
right.
of God
right.
is synonymous?
Seems to be, yeah. They seem to
one
just,
or the other? Or?
It would be a good thing to kind of look through and let's pay attention to see how often they refer to one or the other and see. It seems to be just a free variant. They can refer to the Ark with either term. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to look and see how frequent the one is as opposed to the other.
And then the participle in the fall here.
Yeah.
Any clue here? I mean, the participle conveying some foreground action. You talked about the shift to the characters
right.
and the sort of a, hey, look, this thing's going on here.
Right. Notice the hine indicates actual perception, and it's very common to be followed by a participle. And then notice participles are unmarked for aspect or tense. Mm-hmm. So the context kind of determines how you're going to render that in English. The hine, when it means a shift of perspective, kind of to actual sense perception, often has the hifil or the participle with it. All right. You could even translate the Ashdodites got up early in the next morning, and they could see that Dagon had fallen forward. You know, something like that. So it makes it very vivid. Okay. Any other questions? Verse 4. Vayash kimu baboker mimacharat vehine dagon nofel lefanav artsa lifnei Aron Yahweh verosh dagon ushite kapot yadav kerutot el ha niptan rak dagon nishar alav. Okay, so you can notice the repetition. And they got up early in the morning mimacharat on the following day. Okay, and here we have the Vehine again. Alright? And there was Dagon fallen Lefanav on his face to the ground. Okay? Lifne Aron Yahweh, before the Ark of Yahweh. Alright, now here's another detail. Verosh Dagon, and the head of Dagon, Ushite. Notice that this is the construct form of the number 2, and we've seen this before. And so notice it's in construct 2 with kaf. Kaf is palm. Remember, here's the plural. And the two palms of Radab, of his hands. See? And the two palms of his hands, ketu, kerutot. Can anyone see what that form is? What's the root?
Karat.
Karat, which means to cut, right? So this is a what?
In a construct?
Nope. Close though. Call passive participle. And notice it modifies hands. See, and his and the two palms of his hands were cut. See, to cut is active passive. We're cut. I guess we're cut off. El at ha miptan. That's the threshold. We're cut off at the, or maybe El is a variation with al. We're cut off upon the threshold. In other words, maybe they were lying on the threshold or something like that. Okay. Rock, only Dagon, Nishar, was left alive on it. Okay, now notice that's kind of weird. What are you talking about? There seems to be a gap there. So notice that the Greek has only the trunk of Dagon. That's that where you see that D, that Rachis. And most translations go with that. Only the stub. I always keep thinking of that Monty Python movie, you know, where the guy cuts off his arms and legs and he's kind of sitting there. It's just his trunk daring the guy. Yeah, it's only a flesh wound. Come back here and fight. He had to be there, I guess. Anyway.
So I guess one could construe then, based on the description, that more than palms were cut off. Maybe it was the whole arm or something, right? I mean,
yeah,
it was just the trunk that was left? Or
that his head, yeah. That evidently, it could have been that he was sitting on some kind of pedestal, see? And that his head fell off and his two hands were cut at the threshold. Only Dagon, namely, the Greek adds that trunk, was left. Now see, Alav, on it. What is that talking about? See, does the it refer to the place where he was stationed? Something like that. See, we assume, too, the same thing with the ark. They must have put it on something. You know? So that's probably what it's referring to. It's just anyone reading this text that lived back then probably knew exactly what they were talking about. But for us, there's kind of a gap there. And the Greek tries to fill that in. All right? So we're assuming that only the trunk was left because the head and everything else was gone. Any questions about verse 4? All right, verse 5. Al Cain. Lo Yidraku Kohane Dagon Vekol Habain Beit Dagon Al Mishpah. Miptan Dagon Vashdod Ad Hayomazah. Therefore, not Yidraku, they will not. Darak, you all know, is to walk, from Derek. Okay. Therefore, they will not walk, namely the priests of Dagon, will not walk, nor any of those coming. Notice Habaim is a call participle from Bo, used as a substantive here. So neither the priest of Dagon nor all of those entering the house of Dagon, they will not walk upon the Miptan Dagon, upon the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod. Ad Hayom Hazeh, until the day of this, until this day. So notice this custom, they must have stepped over the threshold. Alright, because of what happened here. Alright? Now it gets really bad though. Any questions up through verse 5? Alright, verse 6. Va tikbad yad Yahweh el ha ashtodim. Va yashimeim. Va yakotam ba polim. But it's, I should actually read it. Va tekorim. And I'll explain later. Et ashtod ve et gevuleha. Okay. Va tikbad. You all know that. To be heavy. And the subject follows. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon, notice L and all can switch, and that's what you have here. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon the Ashdod, the citizens of Ashdod, the Ashdodites. Vayeshimeim, and he, this is from Shamam. Shamam means to be desolate. Here, this is the Hiphil, to desolate. This, so it's a double-line verb. And he desolated them. The aim at the end is the third masculine plural suffix. And he wreaked havoc upon them. Some translation, he terrified them, something like that. Vayet Shemaim. Shamam is not good news whenever you are described as being this. You get this popular noun, Shemama, desolation, from here as well. Vayak, and he nakud them. Notice that this is a hip field from Nun Kaf Hay. The hay drops off, the nun assimilates, you're almost left with nothing. Just the cough of the original root. See that? And he struck them with... Now, this word is only used in this chapter. All right? So, notice the pointing is rather weird. You have the shva under a guttural there. If you look out to the margin, The consonants are, as you want to read, ophalim or something like that. But they always want you to read, when you come across this word, instead of ophalim, techorim. Techorim. Which means hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoids. Okay? George Brett, 1985 World Series, had a hemorrhoid problem, remember? He had to sit out a game, and then, you guys don't remember, you weren't even born. And then he said on national TV, they were asking how I felt, and he said, oh, I feel much better, my problems are all behind me now. First time I'd ever heard that expression. I thought it was funny. But anyway, he struck them with hemorrhoids. That's how it's normally interpreted. No one kind of quite knows what the word means. Some suggest it means boils or something like that. And so some translations will translate it like that. Okay. But whenever the pointing is weird, because whenever you come to Ophalim, you're supposed to read Techorim. So he struck them with boils, namely Ashdod and Et Gevuleha, and her surroundings. Her Gavul is border. Her borders. Okay. Question through six? Okay. Natural reaction for a guy. If you got hemorrhoids and no preparation H back then, you got to do something. Va'yiru anshe Ashdod kikain. See, when the men of Ashdod, notice it's not calling them Ashdodim anymore. It just changes. So just notice it's kind of a little different variation, as we would all do for writing. And the men of Ashdod, yiru, saw. From Ra'a, simple call. And the men of Ashdod saw that Cain, that it was so. That this is how things were. Okay. In other words, they were connecting the dots. We were fine until the ark got here. We got hemorrhoids big time. Something's matter here, okay? So they're connecting the dots. When the Ashdod saw that it was thus, the Amru. Notice this form. Notice it's not a Vav consecutive imperfect. It's a Vav plus perfect. But you would still translate it as past tense. I think that this is an example of non-standard usage. Standard Hebrew would normally have a Vav consecutive. But you also have colloquial language, dialectical differences, and also kind of substandard speech sometimes coming in. We've seen this before. We saw it in chapter 1 with the Vehaya, when you expect Vayahi. So here, when the men of Ashdod saw that this was how it was, they said, Lo yeshev Aaron Elohe Yisrael imanim. Not shall remain, from Yashav, call in perfect, the ark of the God of Israel shall not remain with us. Ki kashta yado aleinu. For to be kashas, to be harsh, or to be heavy. For his hand is heavy aleinu, upon us, and upon Dagon Eloheinu, our God. So you see, he's roughing up Dagon. Right, any questions through verse 7? Alright, now here, what do? You pawn the problem off on someone else. Verse 8. Vayish laku vayas hu et kol sarne pelishtim alehem. So they sent from Shalah, okay, so these guys from Ashdod, the leaders, the mayor and whoever, sent vayas hu from Asah. Notice that that's a simple call, ba consecutive imperfect. They sent and they gathered all the Sarne Pelishtim, all the officers or the leaders of the Philistines, Alehem, to them. They had a convention. I don't know if they held it in Ashdod because, you know, it's kind of like going on the riverboat here in the Mississippi. You get sick. You may have it somewhere else. Anyway, they gathered them all to them, Bayomru, and they said, Manaaseh, what should we do, La'aron, with the Ark of the Elohei Israel, the God of Israel? And they came up with this brilliant idea. And they said, Gat Yisov. Okay? Yisov, can anyone see what the root is? It's from Savav. And it means to turn. It's a call imperfect. Gat is the name of another city. Okay? And they said, Let the ark of the God of Israel turn to Gath. Okay? Notice there seems to be a gap. Who said it? It's very interesting. If you go down to 8a, notice the addition of the Septuagint. It's the Septuagint actually has this reading. And the Gathites said, let it come to us. See, and so actually that I think the New American Standard Version actually uses the Septuagint to fill in kind of the gap, who was speaking. So evidently, you know, they kind of smooth out what seems to be a rough text in the Masoretic text. The Gathites actually volunteer for ark duty for some reason. I don't know. Okay? Vayasevu, okay, notice that this is, if the other one was a call, what form is Vayasevu? Notice the patak under the yud, and the seire under the se, under the sonic. So it is a hipfil. So it would take the direct object. Notice that the first one, the call, is intransitive. Let the ark of God turn to Gath. Vayasevu, so they moved the ark of the God of Israel. See, from, it's still from Sabah, but now it takes a direct object. Does everybody see that? Okay. Any questions? All right, here we go. What happened to the poor Gathites? Vayahiachare hesavu oto. Now it happened after, see, now notice how this is connected right to the finite verb. After they, now you know what this is, right? Again, the hiphil, perfect, third common plural from Sabab. Now it came to pass after they moved it. Okay? Vatehi, that the hand of the Lord, tehi, was ba'ir, on the city. Mehuma gerula me'od. Was on the hand of the city. Now the just plain mehuma means panic or confusion. A very great panic. Okay, so you could translate now, how does this attach to the rest of the clause? And there's a number of ways. I was thinking of this today. You could translate it as, let's see, you could translate it something like causing a very great panic. All right? So it was in the city, or just like the hand of the Lord was on the city, and there was a very great panic, or something like that.
And this is because of the participial form here, needing to kind of...
Well, the mehuma is simple noun.
Okay.
From, yeah, and who means to be in confusion. It's a noun built on that, confusion or panic. Okay. Notice, though, that the reason there's the panic actually follows this. Vayak, again, he struck the men of the city, mikatzon, from small unto great, from young unto old. Okay, va yisat ru satar. This is only used here, so you don't have to put this on your vocab cards. This is a nifal, which means to burst open or to burst out. And now notice you have the ephalim again, re tekorim, hemorrhoids kind of burst out upon them, la hem. So notice that the reason there was a panic was because of this. So in logical order, say the hand of the Lord was against the city, and he struck the men of Ashdod from young to old, and boils or hemorrhoids broke out upon them, okay, then it makes sense, there was a very great panic, see? So notice it's putting that first, kind of the conclusion, you put the cart before the horse, so that the cart pushes the horse, and there's emphasis here, kind of the final result. Verse 10, Yeshalchu, and they sent the ark of God to Ekron. Here's the third city. See, so it went from Ashdod to Gath to Ekron. They sent it to Ekron. Okay, it came to pass Kevo. Here you have the infinitive construct from Bo, with the kaf in front of it, the preposition. It came to pass as soon as the ark of God entered Ekron. Okay. By Yizkehu ha Ekronim, the Ekronites cried out. Okay, they didn't wait for anything to happen. They knew news travels fast. The Ekronites cried out, saying, "Hey Savu, they have moved a lie." Notice it. Everything is first common plural here. First common me here, singular rather than plural. It's kind of interesting. They have moved to me the ark of the God of Israel, lahamitani, to, from mut, here's the hiphil infinitive construct, mut means to die, here's to kill, in order to kill me and my people. If you look at the textual notes, they want to substitute the first common plural for the first for the first common singular suffixes. But it's pretty consistent here, right? So they're maybe speaking as one voice. All right. Any questions of verse 10? All right, good. We're almost done then. Vayish lechu, and they sent vayasfu. We've seen this before. The Ekronites had another conference. They sent and they gathered at Kol Sarnei all the leaders of the Philistines, and they said, Shalchu, imperative, right? PL imperative. Send the ark of the God of Israel, Ve'yasho, so that it might return. Notice that this is from Shuv, call imperfect, following an imperative, and again, you know, it's usually construed as purpose or result, so that it might return Limkomo, to its own place. Get it out of here. And so that, notice you have to understand, and so that Lo Yami, it does not kill me, from Mut again. So that it does not kill me, the et ami, and my people. So maybe it's the king or the leader speaking on behalf of the people. Okay? For hayata mehumat mat, for a panic of death has happened. Okay? Mehumat mavet. So you could translate that a deadly panic or a panic caused by death. See, it depends on how you want to see the relationship between the construct form and the genitive form. But anyway, we'll say deadly panic or panic of death has happened, Bekol, in all the city. Kavda Me'od. Very heavy is the hand of God. The hand of God is very heavy, Sham, there. Verse 12, Beha'anashim. And the men who, Lo Metu, who did not die, okay, here's kind of the aftermath, Me'od. Huku from Naka. Everybody see that? To Hafah. Were struck with Ophelim, boils or Techorim, hemorrhoids. Okay? Vata'al from Allah. And the cry of the city, Ta'al, went up Hashemayim to heaven. So, the Philistines have to figure out what to do now with the ark.
You've got to wonder if this is not more than hemorrhoids, if it's killing people.
Yes. See, that's why I think hemorrhoids isn't quite right.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like the Black Plague, because the Black Plague, one of its manifestations were boils.
See, right. That's why a lot of people think that the Ophelim is some kind of boils that indicates some kind of festering disease that became pretty evident. So it wasn't just these guys were in great discomfort. Yeah, the hemorrhoids is kind of the old, again, according to the Masoretic tradition, makes it kind of humorous, but I think it was more than that, because it was killing people. That's right. Okay?
Every time when you see Katib and Kele, do you follow Kele?
Well, when you read the text out loud in the Jewish tradition, you would. I mean, the Kerei Katib system means either one of two things. Either the Masoretes are making a correction there, or they have two traditions and they don't want one to be lost. One solution, and there may be other solutions, other scholars have given other reasons. One reason doesn't fit all. And so they're not quite sure of the function or what the correct reading is. I don't know, I have a feeling that probably the Ophelim is the correct reading because it's the more difficult. It's just the word that they're not sure what it is. If you look in Kaler Baumgartner, there's a fairly long article. I don't know, it's about that long considering it's only used here in this chapter, in chapter 6. On trying to figure out from cognate languages what the word might be referring to. We just don't know.
So in this case, you follow Kofi?
Well, when you read it out loud, you would. But if you're looking at it and saying, what does it mean, probably follow the Hebrew text, the written, the Kofi.
The Kofi.
Yeah.